Hannah Montana.
Thank you. I was waiting for that.
Jenny, three times?
Once, twice, three times a lady. What's that from?
The song.
Is
yeah.
It? I don't know. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I'm trying to figure out what it's from.
You look so disgusted at me.
I didn't mean to.
Sorry.
Disgusted at your own soul.
Yes.
Are we going? Are we ready?
Yeah.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Oh my god.
What?
It's from Austin Powers.
Oh, yes it is. All right.
Yes, okay, we're here. You're here.
Always are. Huh? You pick the cutest fonts and such.
Well, I'm an educator.
I'm an educator.
Fonts are important. Anyways.
I'm ready for a Montana.
Keep kicking. I'd like to go to Montana.
Would you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But not right now. It's got super high COVID cases.
Does it really? That's random.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you know? Like, what do you just want to go? Like, horse country type?
I would like to go to horse country. But my friend Nicole from high school is actually there with her son right now. And they went to, like, a grizzly bear preserve.
Oh.
Where it's like, they just could watch grizzly bears in the wild. I'm like, that's cool.
Wow.
Yeah, she sent me a video of him, like, scratching his back on a tree. Mm. Super cute.
There's... Keep your distance.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think you go cuddle them or anything.
That's a shame because bears look so cuddly.
They're not.
I know.
They look cuddly, but they are not.
They have long talons.
Yeah, that's what they're called.
I like how I often make faces. I think we all do this. We often make faces or do things that we think people can see.
They can't see us. No. That's what a podcast is.
You see what a podcast is.
Mm-hmm. It's actually an audio recording. Mm-hmm. Audio content on demand.
Okay, Montana. Okay,
Montana.
Montana. All right, well, have you guys ever heard of seasonal lakes? Do you know what that is?
I've never heard of it, but my guess would be that, like, only certain times of the year they exist, maybe, based on rainfall?
Right. Okay, so only... Okay, well, I guess I should probably start from the beginning instead of jumping in. I had never heard of a seasonal lake before, but apparently just off of Highway 87 in Cascade County, Montana, there's an area north of Great Falls that's known as the Black Horse Lake area. It is the home of our story today that, well... Our first story is it's not very long, but it is the most popular, apparently, urban legend in Montana.
Okay.
But Black Horse Lake is a seasonal lake, which this, I don't know if they all are only in spring and early summer, but this particular lake is only a lake in spring and early summer, and the rest of the year it's dry. Which a lake seems
that's
just like
so
a lot of water to just not be there.
Yeah,
half
it's not
the time.
Like the creek behind my house,
right,
which
exactly.
Sometimes is there, sometimes isn't.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had never heard of a seasonal lake before.
So for me, it just kind of added to the eeriness of the area because I can't imagine just like walking up on a lake that's not currently a lake. It just seems.
Wasn't there yesterday, now it's
yeah.
there. It's very
well.
Mysterious.
But anyway, the Black Horse Lake area is known to be the home of the home of the most aggressive phantom hitchhiker in the U.S.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, so, you know, like, we talk about a lot of different hitchhiker stories or, you know, people who are there 1 minute and gone the next. Mm-hmm. Like
Knock Knock Road.
Like our ladies of the lake or Knock
yeah.
Knock Road, right?
Yeah.
But the hitchhiker of Black Horse Lake is a little bit more terrifying than most.
Oh.
So.
I'm not ready.
I am. It's broad daylight. We're fine.
Oh, you're also not in Montana
that's
on Highway
true.
87, so you're probably okay. So apparently it's a pretty desolate stretch of the highway when going through this area. If you're going, I guess if you're going in one specific direction, if you're heading toward Fort Benton, which I don't know anything about what's where in Montana, but if you live there, it probably means something to you. It's likely that you or someone in your car will suddenly spot an indigenous man with jet black hair dressed in all denim up ahead on the side of the road. When you first see him, he appears to be hitchhiking, which I would say, at least for me, it's a little slightly unnerving to see anyone on the side of the road at night, especially if you're on your own.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not terrible so far. It just seems like a hitchhiker, right?
No, it's already terrible. I don't like hitchhikers.
Well, fair. I probably wouldn't stop, but anyway. As you continue driving closer to where the hitchhiker has been spotted, it's said that out of nowhere, his body will suddenly slam into your windshield.
Stop it.
And he will roll across the windshield and over the hood.
I want to vomit right
now. So it's not just like casually you pull over, pick him up, and he just disappears from your back seat.
He just bodily throws himself in front of your car.
Yeah, and like
just see like a human apparition just body slam.
No, but I'm sure you don't know it's an apparition. You probably think you just
exactly. So that's the thing. People at that point, people often feel like they've hit someone. Pull over, get out of the vehicle to see if the man is hurt. And anytime anyone gets out of the car, they find that the hitchhiker has completely disappeared without a trace, and there's never even a scratch on the car.
Oh my God, that's scary.
Isn't it?
That's scary.
Like, very real contact.
Yes. Yeah.
And then nothing.
Yeah, it's not like you just drive through the person.
Yeah.
Yeah, so very real contact.
Which would
car.
Also be terrifying, wouldn't it? Where you're true. Like, you hit someone, but you didn't hit anyone. Yeah. That would also freak you out.
Yeah, that's true. That would also be scary. So if this was something that happened once, it could be easily explained away. Like, it's unsettling, but people driving at night sometimes see things.
Someone took some magic mushrooms.
Yeah, could be anything. Anything, somebody might have an overactive imagination, any sort of mental trick, like if you're driving tired, whatever. But this particular encounter has happened over and over and over again to many different people. And each time the story is shared, it goes almost exactly the same way.
Oh my God.
That is crazy.
So there's occasional variances, like some people say that he jumps on the car rather than seeming like you hit him, which is also scary. Others have reported seeing him in the rear view walking again like nothing happens as they drive off.
I don't like this at all.
Yeah. Some even report that after they get out of the car and find no one in the road, they drive off, and once they are back up to speed, I'm not going to like this any better. They see the man running after the car, keeping up the pace of the 65-mile-per-hour speed limit before vanishing into thin air.
That is rude.
I put in parentheses, no thanks.
No thanks.
I'm fine.
This is a very vengeful ghost, playing all these mean pranks.
Well, so, but the main story is just that he's hit by the car. Like, he hits your windshield, and then he's just gone. So that's not really...
Oh my God, no.
It's still creepy.
So
just gave me shivers.
Where did he come from?
Yeah, I was going to say, who is this guy? But then I didn't want to jump the shark, figuring you had probably done your research.
So, a lot of people believe that he is the spirit of an indigenous man, some say potentially Chippewa, given the demographic of the surrounding areas, who was struck and killed by a car on Highway 87 many years ago. It's believed that he is one of those spirits who were stuck in a loop. You know, we've talked about that before, just kind of doomed to forever repeat the night of his death.
I mean, that would make sense.
Trapped in his own personal hell, so not so much vengeance.
No, you're right.
Just stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it doesn't appear that there is any recorded evidence of an accident like this happening in that place. But that doesn't really mean that it didn't happen.
That's exactly right.
There's no record to know who this guy actually is. So I was reading a little bit about hitchhiker lore. So we've talked about it before. It shows up all over the place. There are stories of apparitions who appear on the side of the road and then vanish that date all the way back to the 19th century. There's a version in Hawaii that involves a rickshaw. And some versions involving a horse and carriage, like before there were cars. The hitchhikers often have a story of tragic death and sometimes warn their drivers of something coming. But there doesn't really seem to be any cultural barriers when it comes to this one. Like, it's all over the place. There's stories in Algeria, Romania, Pakistan, and Sweden. And the Swedish version is known... to warn passerbys of impending plagues and wars before disappearing. So can you imagine just, like, pulling over and this little old lady, like, warns you about a plague that's coming?
I don't like that either.
Oh, no. That is way worse. I don't know if it's way worse, but it's not okay.
Right, it's just not good in any situation. But the Black Horse Lake, hitchhiker is thought to have died in the 1960s, probably. Since his death wasn't recorded, it's not quite complete, but given his all denim outfit, it's not likely that he was around in the 19th century.
So that's where you got the date from, is just like basing it off. People have based it off like how he's dressed.
Exactly. Because he's just covered head to toe in denim. But we won't really ever know, I guess, because nobody knows the story or where this man came from.
That's sad.
Poor guy.
I know. It is sad. And it's very short. That's the story of the Black Horse Lake hitchhiker. So I have another one for you.
I almost think it's creepier sometimes when you can't get to the bottom of it. Like, obviously this has happened, dozens of times, hundreds of times, and no one knows who this guy is.
Right. Well, and then there's no, like, you think about it. So I've done all this research, looked at several different things, and a lot of times when a story is a story, like, people retell it and add details and add, like, you know.
It becomes very colorful.
Exactly. But this is just a very simple, like, occurrence that happens a lot.
That is freakish.
Can you just imagine if it happened to you? Like, how do you recover from that?
Nope.
You'd have nightmares about that forever.
Yeah. And always wondering if you actually hit
If you something. Actually hit somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But the fact that there's never anything, like, obviously a full-grown man slamming into your windshield would probably crack it.
Yeah.
Never even a scratch never, on the car or anything. Right. So it's just, like, this really weird phenomenon.
You know, I don't know if you've ever had anything hit your windshield, but, like, that...
It's startling.
It is so
startling. It's more than startling. Yeah. So, I mean, it's terrifying. So we were coming back from my grandmother's funeral years ago from the town where she was buried,
mm-hmm.
and my mom was driving, and the car in front of us threw a tire. The tire bounced. It's like you see it happening in slow motion. And I only tell you this because we've all had, like, a bird or a rock or something, and that's startling, but, like...
Right.
Something tire, big,
yeah.
That it shattered the entire windshield. Like we all had to get out of the car because it was just like you're shaking and your nerves.
Well, that's awful.
So imagine a body, right?
Oh my god, no!
It doesn't just like crack. It would shatter your windshield, especially if you're hitting it at such a velocity.
You're going 65 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way there's no scratch on that car.
Like with him, it's like you see him up ahead, so you've not even slowed down yet, probably.
And then suddenly he's here.
Hitting your car.
So it's one of those things where he moves too fast, too.
Also, though. Yeah, remember he was sometimes chasing after the car, not having it.
You imagine, can you just imagine, like, you think you've hit this person. You're horrified, first of all, and you're shaken because it's scary happening to you, too. You get out. There's nothing there. You think you're insane.
Right.
You get in the car, and then suddenly he's back behind you.
Yeah.
And he's like, keeping pace with the car. Like, what do you even – how do you start to process that?
No. She said no. Nope.
I don't like it.
Luckily did this research in broad daylight because that was not
– Yeah.
So there's a lot of different stories – kind of like we found with this part of the country before, too. There's a lot of different stories about different indigenous peoples. And there's even a story, one of the urban legends that I found after having researched this one was that the Battle of Little Bighorn is said to be very active and occupied by spirits.
Makes sense.
And I didn't go into that one because it seemed like there was going to be a lot of story and it probably felt like it was going to have to be its own episode. So I just included, this is not necessarily the second most popular, but just another one that's kind of like pretty common around the area. And this is just a story, the story of Moss Mansion.
Oh, I like it.
Okay.
I like haunted mansions, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
We talked about one last episode.
We did.
This one's not quite that dark, luckily. So... in 1892, Preston Moss, his wife Martha, and their two children that they had at the time, Woodson Jackson and Kula, moved to Billings, Montana. Billings was an up-and-coming railroad town, and the Moss family brought a lot of talent to the community. Preston and Martha were both college-educated. He was a gifted businessman and herself gifted in music and art. Moss not only helped develop the economy in Billings, but was a model leader and citizen. He became a prominent investment banker and helped to bring a lot of modern conveniences to the town. He started the First Dial Telephone Company. This guy was busy. He started the First Dial Telephone Company, founded a newspaper that was a forerunner of the Billings Gazette, started a central heating plant, and the Billings Utility Company.
Wow.
He helped develop Billings Light and Water Power Company, the Northern Hotel, local irrigation systems, the sugar factory, and the Billings Polytechnic Institute, which is now Rocky Mountain College. Oh, and a toothpaste factory, as well as a meatpacking plant. So he pretty much developed the entire town.
You know, I feel like I'm a busy person, but I kind of feel like a slacker right now.
Yeah, he did a lot.
He also
became a leader in the Masons Montana State Organization and served on the Billings School Board. So
in his free time.
Even though it was really common for wealthy people to send their children off to boarding school. His children attended the public schools there in Billings, and he worked on the school board. So he was really an advocate for public education.
That's awesome.
The Mosses had six children altogether. So when they moved there, they only had two, but they ended up with six, five of which lived to adulthood. Fortunately, Virginia Moss tragically died at age six of diphtheria. But of the surviving children, four of them went off to college on the East Coast at Preston Jr., attended a business college in Billings, and served in the Army Medical Corps. though he never actually saw battle, as World War One ended when his ship was only halfway across the ocean, so he was able to return home.
Oh, wow.
And eventually, all of the Moss children returned and settled in Billings. So they all went off, did their thing, and then came back to the same city.
That's nice.
Four of those siblings got married at some point, but daughter Melville was a musician who enjoyed traveling and doing her own thing. She eventually became the caretaker of the family home, which is known as Moss Mansion, after her parents died. Melville is credited with preserving the mansion and family items. She made efforts to have Moss Mansion added to the National Register of Historic Places and succeeded in 1982, 2 years before she died.
Aww.
Her surviving family members sold the mansion after she died to the city of Billings, and now the Montana Historical Society oversees its care. So it still has a lot of their stuff in it. It's cool.
That is cool.
It's been preserved. So it's a nice little story about this family.
And
a quaint sounding little town. But can you guess why we would be talking about it on a podcast about superstition and urban legends?
I think there's some ghosties.
It's gonna be haunted.
The mansion is haunted.
The mansion is haunted.
No. She doesn't bury the lead, does she?
The Moss family are said to have loved their home. So it was like a pretty big deal. It's a museum now, and like I said, a lot of their personal belongings and artifacts are still on display there, and so a lot of people apparently, I don't know that I've read this before, but it makes complete sense, but many people believe that objects, like, someone's objects can, like, kind of help draw their spirit out.
That's how it happens on Supernatural.
Is that right?
It can.
Oh.
Hmm.
Are you mourning the end of Supernatural?
We don't have time to talk about the fact that I ugly cried for a full hour, and I don't cry. Let's continue. It's still painful.
Carry on. So people believe that because their stuff is there, it causes them to come back and visit more often.
Right.
The most commonly reported apparition seems to be young Virginia Moss. She would have been the one that was there the longest while her family was still there since she died so young. She was first noticed.
Oh, she was the little kid.
She was the 6-year-old. Okay,
gotcha.
She was first noticed, or at least first reported, by a nurse who was attending to Melville the night before her death. Virginia's apparition became very active at that time and is believed that she came around for her sister. She still visits the mansion today, and many people believe that Melville and their father, Preston, do as well. So, just some manifestations that have happened there. A female voice has been heard singing in the billiards room and was caught on EVP.
Cool.
Cool winds have been reported by staff and others that blow up and around a person's body with no logical explanation of a draft coming from anywhere, which we've been on enough ghost tours that we know that's kind of a common thing. Strange shadows have been seen by staff and visitors in various rooms, but often in the billiards room. I didn't find out why the billiards room was so active. Like, what?
It's where all the fun happened.
Yeah, sure.
Probably love a good rousing game of billiards.
Uh-huh. Sure. An apparition that is thought to be Preston Moss has been seen walking down the central staircase many times. An EVP that sounded like a man shouting, "Bring me a flashlight," was recorded when all the lights were out one evening for an investigation. Apparently, he did not care for the dark in his bedroom.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
No one asked you all to do that.
Excuse you.
So, the little girl, Virginia Moss, like I said, when Melville was sleeping near the end of her life, her night nurse was woken up by sounds coming from where Melville was sleeping. So she was ill and she wasn't able. All of the bedrooms are apparently on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
She was not able to get up and down the stairs. So she had kind of crafted her little space in an alcove at the bottom of the stairs. So it wasn't a full out bedroom, but this is where the noises were coming from. Her night nurse went to check on her and found out that she was fine, but also saw the apparition of a little girl about 6 years old standing on the landing near the master staircase. She also saw her at one point watching Melville sleep.
Mm, that's like scary and sweet at the
same time.
Like, she just came to kind of like help her. It's like it was right as she was about to die.
So help her transition.
Montana Paranormal Research Society reports that they believe Melville is still in the house as well. EVPs caught by them apparently capture a conversation with an apparition who identified herself as Melville and was ever the polite hostess.
Sounds right.
Though she seemed wary and watchful of her home. On a separate occasion, a woman who was assumed to be Melville told investigators that she couldn't go with them up the stairs. Since she was unable to do so at the end of her life, they think that maybe she thought she was still ill and unable to climb the stairs. Or others have suggested that maybe she was just more interested in keeping an eye on the investigators on the first floor. She's like, I can't go with you right now. I'm busy. Another EVP captured a conversation between a woman and a child assumed to be Melville and Virginia. I didn't read anything about any sinister feelings or occurrences. It seems like everything is just kind of like,
just this hanging was their out.
House and they loved it and they're there visiting. Some of the members still hanging around. They seem to welcome people, but keep a watchful eye. So since the mansion is now a museum, you can tour it. And mm-hmm. apparently it is pretty breathtaking around the holiday season. They like deck it out for the holidays and everything. Oh, wow. So,
yeah.
You know. Wouldn't be a terrible, I mean, in my opinion, anyway, we could probably do a ghost tour there. Or
I would be down.
Just visit the mansion. I think they said it was like $20 a day or something.
I like a friendly ghost, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If they're friendly, that's...
Like I said, luckily not as dark as the limps.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more happy.
I don't really want to be struck by a hitchhiker in the car, but I would visit the Moss
Mansion. But I would visit the Moss Mansion for sure. Mm-hmm. Especially on, like, a Salt the Pod trip.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Salt the Ghost Tour?
Salt the Ghost Tour.
Would you guys make sure that this house is turned into a museum for me after I die? Will you make sure of that?
Yeah.
Shut up.
I feel like a lot of people would want to tour.
Yeah, probably would.
A museum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you've established the whole town, too.
Look, I don't like to brag.
Thanks for listening to Salt Over Your Shoulder,
a Redwater production.
We appreciate your support. Your download allowed our crazy idea to gain steam and make it into your podcast directories. We couldn't do this without you. If you'd like to continue your support, you can engage with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at SaltThePod, or follow us on Facebook at Salt Over Your Shoulder. You can also email us at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com.
Special thanks to the one and only Andrew York for our awesome graphic.
If you'd like to continue your support, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. This helps other people find us as well. You can also become one of our patrons at patreon.com/saltthepod.